We all have a fascination of fear and a fight with giants. Listen as I give you three things you need to know about how to step up, square up, and slay your giants on A Word with Anthony Walker. Today's word is giant. Giant, noun, an imaginary or mythical being of human form, but superhuman size. Giants are fascinating. If you've ever stood next to anything huge, it captures your attention and imagination. Perhaps this is why we are drawn to big things like pro basketball players or pro football players. They're huge compared to the average size person. We're drawn to the giants of nature as well. I can remember as a child, I used to just look at trees. It amazed me how big and strong trees become, let alone compared to the size of the seed that produced it. It was probably about third grade when I first learned of sequoia trees. These trees are some of the biggest things we see. They grow to an average height of 250 to 300 feet tall. For scale, this is the height of 25-story buildings. And they aren't just tall, they're stout. The base of these trees can be 30 feet wide and 90 feet in circumference. They have branches that are 8 feet thick. This is thicker than most trees are at the trunk. I've yet to see one in person, but looking at the images and the stat line, it blows my mind their immense size. I remember the first time I saw a mountain. I'm talking about a real mountain for my Tennessee folk. See, here in Tennessee, we have the Great Smoky Mountains. Yes, they're smoky and technically, they're mountains. I'm not so sure about their greatness. They're probably more like big hills. When I flew out west, I saw the Rocky Mountains. They were so tall, I thought they were clouds. And I even thought they were closer than what they were. Now, the Great Smoky Mountains' tallest peaks are about 6,500 feet high. The average Rocky Mountain peak is 14,000 feet high. Standing by them makes you feel small. Speaking of feeling small, go to an NBA game or an NFL game. These guys are giants compared to you and I. And they aren't just tall, they have some gigantic, freakish proportions. They're big, strong, and fast. They are the rare specimens in which that combination exists in a world with an abundance of short, weak, and lazy. They aren't just giants, they regularly compete against giants, and we pay in fascination and fanaticism. But let's not kid, when you first saw the title, you thought of one giant. The giant to whom all other giants are compared. That's right, Goliath, that behemoth of a man that fought David when he was just a young man himself. This epic battle is seen in virtually every movie and story we have, with the exception of romance. And I would argue, if you look closely in some of these love stories, you'll find a David versus Goliath type battle. To those who may not be familiar with the story, here is the abridged version. The Philistines were a nation that plagued and pestered Israel, God's people. In one attempted invasion, the Philistines brought out their secret weapon, Goliath. In a bullying and braggadocious effort, they slyly offered Israel a deal. Instead of an all-out battle in which many lives would be lost, Goliath put forth this proposal.
Send out your best man, If I win, you will be our servants. But if he wins, we will be your servants.
Now, that sounds like a deal until you realize who's doing the talking. Goliath, a man about 9 feet tall. His armor weighed as much as an average man. Goliath was so big and menacing that when people heard him, when they heard him walk, when they saw him, they shrank in fear. Even Israel's king, King Saul, he was afraid of Goliath. Now, Jesse was a prominent man in Israel and had 8 sons, all of whom were on the battlefield except one, his youngest boy, David. And while Goliath was repeatedly taunting and haunting Israel, Jesse told David to go out and take supplies to his brothers. When David got on the field, he saw warriors, men of battle, with their shoulders slumped in dismay and their knees trembling in fear. These were men that David would have looked up to as a child. Imagine seeing your hero afraid. David asked, "What's going to be done for the man that takes out this giant? What kind of man would taunt the Lord's army?" His older brother was angry with David. "Aren't there some sheep you need to be tending? What are you doing out here other than to just watch the battle?" David responded, "Can I say something? When a lion or a bear came up against my father's sheep, I went after it and killed it to save the sheep. God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Goliath is just another big bear." David would go onto the field with a slingshot and 5 stones, although he just needed 1. He hit Goliath in the head and killed him. "Yes, I know I cut to the good part, but I didn't really cut out much of the story. It took more time talking about Goliath, talking about fear, and talking about David than it took David to defeat Goliath." When you look back on that story, there's often an overlooked factor in David's ability to slay the giant. Ultimately, David relied on his faith in God. His faith was developed by overcoming giants that we never heard about. It reminds me of the goat. And due to the new generation, I have to clarify, Michael Jordan. Back in 2020, much of the world was introduced and some of the world was reintroduced to the greatness of the basketball skills of Michael Jordan. Now, those that know me know I'm a fan of his basketball greatness. I've seen several documentaries, read his books, as well as books written about him. I know and I knew most of the stories that were told in the docuseries, The Last Dance. However, one element that I had overlooked was the battles that Michael had with his brother, Larry. Prior to his junior year in high school, Larry Jordan, not Michael Jordan, was number one. He was the giant that Michael Jordan couldn't overcome. They battled so hard and vigorously that it often came to blows. Jordan was fascinated by his brother's game, and although he may have feared the outcome of the battle, he was always up for the fight. But it was years of trying and failing and trying and failing and trying again that built up his inner strength. The only thing that tipped the scales of the battle was the summer between sophomore year and junior year for Michael Jordan. Jordan grew from 5'9 to 6'4. It was this height advantage plus the inner resolve that gave Jordan the extra boost he needed to finally beat his giant, his brother Larry. So what we saw in college and what we saw in the NBA was years in the making, not just on the stage lights, but in the street lights, not on the front page, but in the backyard. Before he was Michael Jordan, who dominated on the NBA court, he was little Mike Jordan, Larry's little brother. I could tell you of another little brother, Shannon Sharp. We see Shannon daily, the Hall of Famer who's regularly debating Skip Bayless on Undisputed. But he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Shannon had a great NFL career and is hailed as one of the greatest tight ends to have ever played the game. This is quite the accomplishment from a man who was drafted late and deep in the seventh round. He was pick 192, starting out on special teams and then making it to the Hall of Fame. But Shannon, like Jordan and like David, fought a giant before he competed with giants regularly on the field. As Shannon said in his Hall of Fame speech, he was the only person in that auditorium that could say he was the second best player in his own family. His brother Sterling Sharp was a great receiver, no doubt. The only thing that stopped his Hall of Fame career was time. Sterling has one of the best seven-year stats of any receiver, but due to an injury that nearly paralyzed him, his career was cut short. Shannon talks about how much better his brother was when they were younger. Shannon had to battle against his brother athletically and I'm sure mentally as well. So again, the grit and grind that motivates a man to go from the bottom to the top was forged in a small shack in Georgia. He faced a giant daily, a giant that he had to grow to overcome. So when he made it to the gridiron, facing giants was commonplace. I could go on and on about people who have overcome giants. Not all giants are physical. Some are emotional. Some are psychological. Some are very personal. How do we step up, square up, and slay our giants? Well, the first thing I've observed is that giant slayers face giants early. Don't allow the "you're too small" and "it's too big" to intimidate you. The enemy has a way of trying to frighten us early to keep us from exploring. If you can be frightened by failure, you will eventually stop trying. A friend of mine says, "Nothing beats a fail like a try." David stepped up to his giants early. He was smaller, but they were smaller too. Secondly, grow your inner giant. You've heard the adage, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. We face our giants, our obstacles, and our fears from the inside. If we can get our inside giant bigger and stronger, he can defeat the outside giants no matter their size. It's not that he's too big to hit, it's that he's too big to miss. Thirdly, view your giants from above. When we watch movies, the camera always views the villain and sometimes the hero from below. This makes the villain look larger than they actually are. But when you look at giants from above, they look just as small as everyone else. From above now, far above, all creatures look like ants, even giants. Faith views everything from above. Flesh views everything from below. When we view life from a faith perspective, we see our giants for how small they really are. I know I said I had three things, but I've got a bonus for those who've gone the extra mile. So here's the bonus tip. Prepare your mind for more giants. After Goliath, David and his servants would go on to slay four more giants that we know of, and David would fight many, many more battles. You may be facing a giant, one that has taunted you for some time. Although it seems real, it is brought down when you make up in your mind that it can be defeated. Thank you for sharing a word with Anthony Walker.